Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Kelly Rossman McKinney. Is that what's called bathroom humor?
That was.
We were telling a joke. You were talking about something that had actually happened, right?
Involving, it actually happened. And this is not really a fair intro to Mark Grebner. Bathroom jokes for Grebner. Sorry, Mark.
You know what? He's got this kind of sense of humor. He'll roll
he
right
does
with
indeed.
This. Want to welcome in Mark Grebner from Practical Political Consulting. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm insulted. And yourself?
You
welcome
expected,
to the club, pal.
You expected to be in on this long before this. Tell us your perspective on Chris DeWitt going over and working with Rick Snyder. You sounded surprised as the rest of us.
Well, I don't know that I'm really exactly surprised. It makes sense. There are two phenomena here, and it's hard to know which is more important. One is that one of the ships is sinking. And the other is that the other ship is captained by a guy who has a very generous nature and a big, fat roll of bills. And so it's not that hard to attract people who, do it for some reason other than love of politics.
You didn't just call Chris DeWitt a greedy rat, did you?
I did not, no.
When you say one of the ships is sinking, I take it that this is not something you believe can be solved by bailing a few buckets of water. You make this sound like the Titanic.
Well, the Titanic sank. There are a lot of other ships that have sunk.
Okay.
Ships,
the Edmund
I guess,
Fitzgerald
all the ships. Ships all either get sunk or scrapped eventually.
Yeah.
This particular ship, is going to float for another 2 months and then it'll sink.
Is there any way, Mark, that you can imagine where Virge Bonaro could really pull it out and win in November?
Sure, but all of the obvious scenarios involve horrible scandals from Rick Snyder's past or violence. So other than that, I can't come up with anything.
He would have to be caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy, right? That kind of thing? Sorry,
I think being caught in bed with a live boy these days would not do it.
Oh, actually, it might get him a gay vote. Yeah, good point. Good point,
Mark. That might even appeal to some moderates.
Yeah, and necrophilia may not be enough of an issue, so we'll let that one go, too. In terms of polling, and Kelly, you were just talking about robo-polls.
Oh, yeah.
And using... The data bank, I guess, that Mark has assembled. The lists are unbelievable, right?
Well, and Mark, you really are the god of robo-polling. And it's your work with Bill Ballinger and Bill Ballinger's coverage of your work independent of Ballinger that, I just think what you've learned with robo-polling, and you even call it yourself sort of a, I don't know exactly what the term you use, but
I call it second-rate polling.
Exactly.
Second-rate polling.
But you have found it, at least in your polling, to be extremely predictive, correct?
What's useful about it is that you can do cheap little polls that you could never otherwise have afforded. And so you can go and find out things that are really useful to find out, but that are not worth $20,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can talk about cheap little polls, but I'm going to give you a little credit here, because when we talked during the primary... It was your poll that was the first one that made a lot of heads turn, saying that not only was Virge Bonaro going to be the comeback kid, he already had done it.
And that particular poll had a pathetically small sample and cost maybe out of pocket, maybe $75 to run.
Well, then why was it so accurate? Maybe you don't need a big sample.
Well, the reason to do real polling is because you want something other than a horse race question. You really want to know why people are doing what they're doing. I have no clue why they're doing it. I just can tell you that this group has shifted, and if I wonder about a particular group, for $100 or $200 or $500, I can test it and come back with an answer and say, sure enough, you're doing really badly in Grand Traverse County. I guess you're right.
But you can't do a whole lot of demographic crosstabs, can you, in a robo-poll?
Well, the way I do it, I only ask a couple questions, so right. I don't ask people about how much they voted or what they believe. But the trick is I know so much about the individuals I've called, I can link the response back to the fact that I know that this person is a 45-year-old single man, lives in an apartment, votes heavily Democratic, mainly votes in primaries, and signed a couple of petitions that suggest he's a liberal.
Has a Star Wars collection in his basement, that kind of thing.
Pretty much. And so I can pull out the demographics that come out of publicly available data on people. And so in a very crude way, I mean, I never talk about soccer moms and that sort of thing, but if we talk about things like people, you know, who get Detroit area TV, so, you know, five counties worth of people who would have seen this person on TV a lot, that's a kind of a demographic I can break out because I know where they live. We can talk about old people because I know how old the people are who respond to my questions. But as far as their detailed psychodemographics, for that you got to pay a whole lot more and talk to a real poller.
Hey, Mark, how do you account for cell phones anymore? I mean, folks like me, I don't have a landline anymore. So how do you deal with cell phone versus landline?
Well, so far, it hasn't been a problem. It's going to be a problem. And in the 2012 presidential election, it's going to be a huge problem for pollers. Right now, I'm sort of whistling past the graveyard, and I'm just basically polling landlines because they're cheap and easy and I can make it work. And in primaries, the people who vote and the people who have landlines are so similar that I'm getting the right answers. Even in this general election, because it's only going to be a relatively small turnout, about 4 million people in the state, mm-hmm. as opposed to a little over 5 that we saw in the presidential election,
right.
I'll still be able to limp through. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have to worry a little bit that the sample will be misrepresented or unrepresentative. But by the time we get to 2012, when we have the large turnout, a fairly large number of younger people who don't have landlines, and that those people can't be represented by the landlines. You can't just say, well, we'll take the kids we kind
of... Mark, thanks so much. I'm sorry we're at the end of the hour. We really appreciate your time.
I filibustered you.
We'll be right back, and we appreciate the fact this hour brought to you exclusively by AT&T.